Five counselors here. Craig in the chat. Tonight we're going to be hearing presentation of 345, 350, 2041, 2042. Kev, since you're here already, do you want to start with 345?
Yep, for sure. Drop the link in GovCall chat for everybody reading along at home. Yes, it's time. This is for buyback and burn SNX on Base. The proposal here is to use 50% of the fees that the Andromeda system earns on Base to buy SNX in an automated way, so that it can be burnt. The other 50% of fees would accrue to LPs as usual, and that's expected to be USDC collateral. So, hoping that this is going to be a decent yield on the USDC, as well as enough fees to make a buy and burn on SNX. The real key motivator here is the Andromeda release is a isolated deployment. And so buying and burning SNX is the kind of most elegant way for the fees to accrue to the wider SNX ecosystem. The proposal is to use a contract based on yearns. We have had to write that and make some modifications. Unfortunately, we couldn't use it in its raw form for technical reasons, but that's the way that we would implement it. The fees would accrue from the system automatically, be sent to the contract automatically, and there'd be a permissionless way for Arbors to make the transactions with the contract in order to sell SNX into the contract.
Two questions.
I think that's probably off. Go ahead.
Do we have a Chainlink Oracle on Base for SNX, or how are we getting the pricing on that into the contract?
Yes, there is.
Great. And then we framed this as an experiment. Is there an end clause here in which we would discontinue this, or do we just expect this realistically to run indefinitely?
I mean, it can always be superseded with another SIP to propose a different solution. I think it's a good way to get it up and running. And if it becomes, hopefully we have the problem of it becoming popular, and then a discussion can be had about maybe a different solution. But this seems like a good experimental setup that we can always replace in the future.
Just a question on the split. Can you go into a bit more detail on the rationale behind 50%? And also just clarify what the intent is to use with the other 50% again. I didn't quite follow.
So in the example, I'll run through the example, which might help. If there's $10 of fees generated on the platform, then because of the recent fee share dip that was approved, 20% or $2 of those fees would go to the be shared with the front ends. There'd be $8 left, and that would be split between LPs and buying.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. Customers. Okay. So I think I understand. So it's like,
yeah, it's 50% net fees.
Right. So it's not 50%, you know, of the fees that are generated for SNX holders. It's 100% of the fees that are generated for SNX holders.
So 20% of the fees will go to the front ends.
Like we only have, I guess what I'm saying, sorry, is like we only have control of the fees we have control of, right? So there's like a certain amount of fees after it's all been divvied up that are going to go to us, but we're saying we're going to use all of those fees to do buyback and burn, right? We're not splitting that into a further 50% do one thing and 50% do another.
I think I'll still go to the example. 20% okay. of the fees, 20% of the fees are going to go to front ends.
Yep.
They get a 20% fee share. And yep. of that,
so we can't force them to buy back and burn. So that's not relevant, right? Really?
Correct.
And so of the 80% of gross fees that remains, half will go to LPs as the synthetic system, you know, usually does. And then the other half of that, which is 40%, will go to buyback and burns. So $4 out of $10 in gross fees generated by the platform will be buying and burn. $4 will be going to LPs and $2 would be going to the front ends.
Got it. But just like for the avoidance of doubt, 100% of the fees that we control that go to SNX stakers, the governance controls, will be used to buy back and burn SNX.
Yes. 100% of the fees that isn't going to front ends or LPs
will
be going to buy back and burn, correct? Automatically, in a kind of decentralized way.
Yeah, I was like, wait, are we doing some weird thing where like we're trying to hedge our bets here and only do half of the fees that
we...
Yeah, okay, cool. I didn't think we were, but it kind of was a head fake. And I was like, wait, am I missing something? It doesn't sound like I am.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying.
So we also need to coordinate this with the Treasury Council to make sure there is some SNX liquidity on base.
Yep. We've got that on our list.
Yeah. By using the Aerodome or rewards or whatever. And one more point, in the SIP, in the technical specification, the last step, the withdrawal and the burn part, I would like to see that a bit more specified. So the SNX really gets burned and not just stays in the treasury wallet. So where are we going to send it? How are we going to burn it?
Yep, we can add by sending to the zero address.
Yeah, sounds good. But
can you also add some periodicity?
Yep, once a month or something reasonable.
Yeah.
We make it amount-based, like if there is a certain amount of SNS in the wallet, that gets burned or something.
Look, I think your time is better. Otherwise, we're picking random numbers and then having to monitor random numbers. Like, if it's going to pass with a recent periodicity, I'd prefer that.
And Cam, just before you update the SIP on the zero address, I would just double check because I know one of the L2s. You have to use the dead address rather than the zero address. I can't remember which one it was, but it's worth double checking.
0xadamcochran.eth or something, I think.
Perfect. Yeah, that's the one.
Thanks.
Wait, so we're saying 0xadamcochran dead? Is that the address we're using?
Oh, horrible. No, I'm just saying one of the L2s doesn't have support
for zero address. I'm fucking with you. I know.
It's too late for this shit, King.
Be sensitive.
Yeah, gonna go cry now.
All right. I don't see anyone from the Wormhole team here. Is somebody else presenting SIP 350?
We got Evan in the audience.
Oh. We can bring Evan up, please.
Hey, y'all. How are we doing?
Pretty good, Evan. How are you?
Not too bad. Humbled to be back here on the synthetic stage.
Absolutely. Welcome back. Floor is yours whenever you're ready. Ready. So, 350 to implement token bridging.
Cool. So I got nominated to give this little presentation. I know I probably talked to most of you previously about the cross-chain queries. So some of the security stuff is similar spiel, but I'll go over it real quick. Essentially, this proposal is about bridging SNX token to other chains, specifically, you know, Ethereum, Optimism, Base, but certainly the same bridge supports anything in the Wormhole network. The key points here are that, you know, if you use the L2 bridge, at least on the OP stack, that token would be subject to the 7-day optimistic finality window for users to get their token back on ETH. If you think that sucks, one alternative is to use wormholes wrapped token transfers, essentially letting you get off as soon as the wormhole guardians confirm finality on the chain. Just like the Optimism docs mentioned, right, the wormhole guardians can guarantee finality faster than the optimistic window because they're all running full nodes of Optimism, full nodes of Base, and full nodes of Ethereum. That's the very broad overview. I'm happy to go into the specifics. A couple things to note is that this proposal is about the no-code solution that can be done. So, you know, you can simply go to portalbridge.com, attest the token from Ethereum to any of the chains in the wormhole network, and users can bridge their SNX tokens there. This is all permissionless. No additional code needs to be done. You get just a regular ERC-20 token on the other side, and these are fungible between all the networks when using the token bridge. The only caveat is if you wanted to control the token for any reason and you wanted to deploy code, some users have, some protocols have chosen to do that, like Threshold's TBTC does use, they composed on top of the bridge, so they kept all the security features, the governor, the accountant, but then they actually control their own token on L2s and such. So if you're interested, I can go into that as well. But that's your real straightforward pitch. I don't know if Akash, you have anything you want to add?
I think we can go to questions. That was a pretty comprehensive pitch.
So first question off the bat, can I clarify you are using wrap tokens where we're giving the bridge the minting authority over the canonical synthetics on these chains rather than a liquidity-based solution? Is that correct? Or you're deploying a separate WSNX that you have minting authority on these chains?
Yeah, so to be careful about the we term, but like this is just for a wrap token. So this would be the SNX would get locked on Ethereum, and then a wrapped version would be minted on the, you know, Base or Optimism chains. That would be fungible with each other. So the way out, those tokens would get burned, and they get minted if it's on the non-native chain, or be unlocked it when going back to ETH. Let me know if that answered that.
Got it. Yeah.
And certainly, you know, if there's something else desired, where I think we're open to, you know, amending the proposal if there's, you know, a taste for something different to happen here.
The proposal was written the way it was because we're trying to take into account the priority here of the least amount of additional technical work and not having to modify the existing token contracts. You know, if those preferences were to change, there's always multiple routes to take advantage of the core things associated with the Guardian network and the wormhole-based cross-chain token token extensions.
So I don't know if you guys heard the SIP presentation for this one, before this one. We want to burn a part of the SNX, but in this system, we would be burning the wrapped SNX tokens, right? So the real, between quotations, SNX tokens are still in the wormhole wrapper.
Ah, sure. So you could actually transfer them back to the zero address on ETH. Right? Like, you can do a transfer from the L2 of the wrapped token back to ETH, but destined to the zero address. And then they would be unlocked and burned, essentially.
So both tokens disappear.
Right.
Precisely.
That would cause them to both disappear. I know it's a slightly different implementation on the L2, but
But functionally, you're recreating the same design as well.
The benefit of the Yugo. Yeah, it would, Gene.
So what are the disadvantages of a wrapped token bridge compared to the other ones that are out there? And how are you guys addressing those disadvantages or security concerns that we've seen with other bridge acts?
Sure, I can talk about a couple of these. I guess I'd be happy to hear your viewpoints on, you know, what you think some of the downsides are, but let me kind of give you the stance that I've gathered from folks. So, one, if we talk about the security aspect, so today, with the wormhole token bridge module, it essentially is like a lock and mint bridge, right? So, everyone maintains their same origin. You know, generally protocols that use this to send their token maintain, one origin mint, which makes it easier for accounting for the protocol. So, you know, they'll release their token on ETH, say. And so any, you know, ETH will be their total supply of the token, period. Any token that is locked in the bridge and sent somewhere else, you know, the supply there is going to be less than the amount on ETH. Two things that we've done at Wormhole is the Guardian feature, and there are white papers for both of these in the Wormhole repo I'm happy to share, and I'll paste the link after this. But the governor essentially provides like a 24-hour limit and a large transfer limit on the notional value that can flow between chains. This is to prevent, you know, some sort of existential threat. Where, you know, there's a L1 takeover and someone says, yeah, I want to move the 100 million in ETH that's locked all at once or something. These are large transfers or transfers over the notional 24-hour limit. It's a sliding window, and they're held for up to 24 hours. This is purely in the Guardian code. Another protection is called Global Accountant. And the way this works is, every token that's transferred over the bridge is tracked by its origin chain and its origin contract address. Anytime a transfer is done, that transfer is logged in the accountant to say, you know, you transferred 10 ETH from ETH to Solana. So now Solana has 10 ETH and there's 10 ETH locked on Ethereum. If Solana were to then try to move out 100 ETH, and the accountant said, whoa, hold on, Solana doesn't have 100 ETH that was given to it in total, so it can't possibly move that out. That will be rejected by the accountant contract and therefore rejected by the Guardian, so they won't sign that message. And this is, the global accountant is applied to every token on the token bridge, and these are shown transparently in the Wormhole dashboard, which I can drop a link to, and you can see all of the accountant tracks, as well as the current governor loops. So those are some of the security protections. Now, as far as, you know, if you want to do native mint and burn, you want to deploy your own contracts, you want to handle governance, certainly projects can do that with core wormhole messaging. Today, they won't benefit from the governor and accountant features, but they'll certainly benefit from the, you know, full, the security of the full nodes that the Guardians are running in the 2/3 majority trust model. There are some projects, like I mentioned, TBTC, who actually uses the token bridge, but then locks those tokens in their own contracts to mint a native token that they control. So, we can go more into that if that's something y'all are interested in. But this allows them to sort of have native tokens that they govern on every chain that they want to be on. And then they, in any sort of emergency, or if they want to do any sort of burns or fancy token, like beyond the regular ERC-20 support, They have full control over that token contract. And they're just using sort of the wormhole layer to transport those between the chains. I know that's like a really quick and dirty, and I appreciate that the time is short. So let me know if that answers any questions. And I'll
Thanks, Evan. How do we change the thresholds for the governor module? Let's say we set it at X and then at some point we decide Y is a better number. How quickly and how does that process work?
Sure. Yeah. So today, let me get the dashboard link here too. So today the governor is set, for all the tokens flowing over the wormhole network. So it's sort of like all the tokens get put together. These limits are set based on sort of historical volume. And I'll just say like the limit from ETH is 50 million. If you all do 50 million in volume, that would be quite incredible. And these limits are reassessed sort of as they get hit or as they get close. And so there's a, you know, security, team that works with Wormhole. They sort of evaluate this regularly and come up with proposals.
So you're saying anyone
in the community. Yeah.
We actually can't set it ourselves. This is kind of set by Wormhole.
Yeah, they're global.
Yeah, this is set globally sort of in conjunction with the Guardians and what the evaluation or the risk considered from the security team is. Though, you know, you're welcome to propose sort of higher limits as these get used, if it becomes a concern. There's been several proposals from the community at various times, and I think they've almost all been approved.
I'm almost more concerned about setting a lower limit for us if we wanted to be more conservative. I don't know what the other CCs and SCs think. Because you guys have a massive network.
Sorry, so one thing I did want to bring up, Adam also posted in the chat. So what is the overall benefit to this? Like, we just gain, like, a little bit of convenience in terms of bridging SNX around. That's, like, the sort of the incremental gain that we get. And then on the flip side, we have to completely rely on Wormhole for all our bridging for SNX, essentially.
So the benefit here is that when you want to bridge SNX right now to a specific chain, you will go through a bespoke bridging process for that network. Let's say it's one of the ETH L2s. You'll use that ETH L2's native bridge. Well, now, there's some of them have detriments, some of them have benefits, but you are exposed to all of those, and then the functionality of that difficulty is the number of chains you expand to. If you choose to expand to a solution like Wormholes, you get to expand to all of them with a single, what's called an interface. Oh, I'm oversimplifying it here. A single interface that has a set, a unanimous set of parameters, like withdrawal time for transfers, things like gas, depending on the chain, et cetera. Right. So the benefit is that unanimity of the interaction model for N chains versus a bespoke model for each individual chain. Again, everyone has different priorities. And so I'm not saying that one way is objectively better than the other, but that's the major trade-off. And when we go into the details of it, in this particular case, one of the big examples is a 7-day withdrawal period. With the Wormhole solution, you don't have a 7-day withdrawal period on the Oku stack chains. In addition to that, you also get the benefits of not having to write any additional new code to get your ERC-20 token across each individual node.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, I guess it might be also a question more so for the, you know, the CCs, the community, and the council as well. But, like, you know, what is the benefit of that, really? Because all the liquidity for SNX is pretty much on two chains. And, like, putting it on a bunch of different chains doesn't really give us any added value. And it's not like anyone that wants to buy it can't get to these chains. There's no way for them to get there. So, I don't know. I feel like the added value doesn't seem like it moves the dial enough for such a, like, commitment, I think, you know? I don't know. That's the way I see it. But, you know, I guess a lot of other opinions as well.
I want to understand that commitment point that Millie touched on. In terms of vendor lock-in, have you guys explored anything like USDC has a new upgradable contract where if somebody deploys it on their chain, they can upgraded to the canonical version. Is this wrapped deployment something that we can take custody of later if, you know, you guys stop existing, if we decide to go a different direction? What's the lock-in look like on that contract deployment?
Yeah, I don't currently have, I don't know if I have consensus amongst Wormhole folks about the USDC proposal in specific, though I am familiar with it. You know, what I will say is that that TBTC approach that I mentioned of like deploying your own contract that uses this approach under the hood, would allow you to be agnostic to the bridge underneath. It would give you all the security benefits, but you could maintain control and custody of your own token. So then it just becomes, you know, you could even mix and match bridges if you wanted to, though that may become a liquidity nightmare.
Can we put an intermediary minting layer if we want to reduce withdrawal limits and things like that, or would it have to be direct to the token?
No, you could add an intermediary layer. I think right now the token bridge itself doesn't, like, it would not be
it's just sending a mint command, right?
It would be like over the top of the token.
We would abstract out a mint command, but I assume the nodes can handle a rejection, right? Like they expect that sometimes a mint is unsuccessful for whatever reason.
So right now the token bridge does not handle external mint contracts. Right. So like the wrapped mint would always work. But I maybe I'd have to spec out what exactly you're expecting.
Well, yeah, I don't expect it to handle a specific error, just that if it gets an error, it's not reporting it as successful still.
As I'm not sure I follow, but maybe we can follow up offline.
For the CCs, so is like the end goal like to use this bridge to like bridge as next round because could potentially issue loans against it or stake it on various synthetic deployments? If that's the case, then this is going to be like a mint, a wrapped version of SLNX, like staking into these different deployments. Then if that's the case, then what's the point of like the previous step of having cross-chain synthesis to have like essentially debt shared across various chains? Like why would you need to have SLNX on a different chain if you could already take on debt on that chain without being there? Like I feel like this doesn't add like what is the purpose of this? Like what is the end game, like big benefit of having SNX like instantly teleport on all these other chains through the wormhole bridge?
I think those are two different discussions, Millie. Like evaluating this as, is it technically sound and do we want to approve it versus what is the benefit for us? And I think those are worthwhile conversations to have, but I don't think that's for the wormhole team to necessarily decide or defend, rather than just like pitching their technical solution.
Okay, I think the same question applies to my earlier question before Millie asked this, which was, do we care about the fact that the governor threshold is set globally rather than, I kind of made the assumption that we could set it, but this is news to me that it's a global max. Like something that destroys us is a different number that destroys wormhole.
I definitely think that.
Go ahead,
Larry. I think that's what I was touching on with Evan, in that, you know, can we put an intermediary layer? Because I think, ML, I'm on the same page as you. The only way I would get comfortable with this is if we can bring down those ceilings. So I'd want to see some sort of implementation where we can put a middle layer in there with our kind of our own lower safety caps. But that's something I would push for if we decided to move forward with this.
Yeah, I think just say there's two things real quick, that like one, we can definitely explore like adding or implementations of a token that's on top of this that would allow you to arbitrarily control those caps, as well as if it's something you desire to have your own governor limits baked into the wormhole protocol, that's also something I can take back to the core contributors and, you know, see if there's a per token governor limit because you guys want one. It's not something we've worked on with first parties yet, but it's certainly something we'd be open to working on, I think.
Because I think this limit saves you, but not necessarily individual protocol. It saves you from being totally destroyed, but to the extent you're a successful business, Okay, so I don't think we have time to talk through my next question, but I'd appreciate some follow-up material. So when you talked about global accountant, so what you described protects against external threats. So I'm a hacker and suddenly I, you know, make money out of nothing. I'm curious about kind of if you've published anything about your internal threat model and how do you guys deal with that? Because somebody could compromise global accounting internally and that wouldn't really help. But I think this might be a deeper discussion than necessary for public SIP. So I just appreciate some materials if you have them.
Sure. I linked the three white papers on those security features. I think the only way that someone could mess with the account, aside from like some vulnerability in the so open source in that repo, it's running on a Cosmos chain, the contract, the Cosmos contract that does the very simple account. The only way that someone could mess with that contract is if they had 2/3 of the Guardian sign off on upgrading it, or 2/3 of the Guardians to take over the chain, which is the same threshold that they'd need to, you know, take over any wormhole governance, like the token bridge governance, right? So this is, I think, like we talked about a couple times ago, but it's, you know, 2/3 of some of the largest validator companies.
I don't want to look through three white papers, so if you can pick out the relevant sections, I would appreciate it. Otherwise, I definitely will not be looking through three white papers.
Sure.
Thank you.
I just want to add, Evan and the other wormhole people who are here, I know we're critical and lob a lot at you, but I deeply appreciate your team's willingness to always run things back up the chain and look at customization. And that really stands out. We give you a hard time, but I appreciate your willingness to work with us on novel solutions here. So thank you for bringing that forward and being willing to really engage and take on those critiques and be willing to look for new solutions rather than just saying, here's what it is. I appreciate that, and that stands out in the space.
Thanks for
likewise. Thank
you. Yeah, it might come off a little bit aggressive against you guys a little bit, but, you know, it's all love at the end of the day.
Just another day in synthetics.
We appreciate the kind words.
All right. If there are no more questions, thank you, Evan and Akash, for being here and presenting that. Today we have SIP 2041 and 2042 left. Gunboats is listed as the author. Is somebody else presenting those SIPs for him? I don't see him in the audience. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, does someone want to try pinging him real quick, or should we postpone these?
Is it just a token listing one?
Two token listings, one for 2041 and 2042, one for Pith and one for Bonk.
Yeah, I mean, I can just talk through them if you guys want.
I mean, it's Pith and Bonk. There we go. Presented.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's kind of what I was going to go do. So... Yeah, I mean, not really all that much to chat about here. But if you guys want me to go through the motions, I can do it for fun. You can just read the simple summary and then the motivation. And, you know, we can do that if you'd like.
I actually have more like a Caleb question on it with something like Bonk, where is Caleb even here? No, maybe some other.
Yeah, so he's, no, he's here. Then. He's here.
Oh, okay. With something so volatile like Bonk that has gone like up 300x, down 300x, you know, Is that something that we're worried about, the interest rate balancing not being sufficient for? Can we turn it up enough to handle an utter meme coin like that? Because it's to a whole different level than even a lot of the mainstream ones.
Yeah, I don't, you might not be reading the chat, but Caleb has said that there's a pert market on Binance to hedge against. So just jumping in with that.
All right. I did not realize anybody was crazy enough to do that. Sure.
A Bonk. Bonk is an extremely popular pert market. Yeah, no, he just posted the market as well and the Binance link.
Great. And
just lost you, Adam. I don't know if you meant to mute.
Yeah, no, I just said all good.
Okay, cool.
All right, there are no other questions. I think that brings us to the end of tonight's presentations. Thank you, presenters, and thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.